We are so fortunate in Wisconsin to have such a wealth of natural resources. And for people who enjoy fishing, I think it's really a paradise. There are a lot of different species to fish for, and it's quite a treat to eat freshly caught fish that you caught yourself, or maybe your son or daughter caught, or your spouse. But it's also important to stay current with what fish are safe to eat and what you might want to put back in the water or better skip. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Net. Really great to have back Candy Schrank. Candy is the Fish Contaminant and Toxicology Program Coordinator with our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And Candy, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you.
And also with us today, Megan Williams. Megan is an environmental toxicologist in the Fisheries Management Division of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And Megan?
It's nice to be here.
Great to have you along. You may have some questions as we move along today, as you listen to the show. Maybe you have questions about specific fish. We'll be talking about preparing fish, and you may have some questions or suggestions along those lines as well. But we want to let you know about all of the different things that the DNR, Candy and Megan and other folks are doing to help make sure that we have a safe meal, I guess, with our fish. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show with a question. And if you've got a nice muskie or a trout or catch a fish that you have got a photo of and you want to share that, why, go ahead. I like to brag, too. I put my muskie pictures up there when I have the chance, too. Candy, let's start with you. The types of fish, I think many of us are aware of it, but for those who aren't, what types of fish are most commonly caught and eaten by our Wisconsin anglers?
Many anglers like to fish for panfish and eat them. They're pretty common in a lot of different lakes. And also bass and walleye and northern pike, inland trout, and of course every different type of water may support a different combination of species. We have our Great Lakes type communities with salmon, and then, you know, inland lakes have a different type of a community, and riverine situations may have fish like catfish and, different species that live in different types of waters.
Yeah. And even with the inland lakes, you go from north to south, and the difference in the type of lake is, I think, fairly significant.
Right. So in the north, you've got more of the clear water lakes, maybe mm-hmm. less productive, but mm-hmm. not necessarily so. And then in the south, the lakes and rivers tend to be warmer, more nutrients, and the community is a little different yeah. in the south.
Sure is. What conditions affect how safe a fish is to eat?
Well, the contaminants are in our fish at different levels, and mercury can be found in all fish, not just in Wisconsin, but, you know, pretty much anywhere. Yep. And mercury tends to accumulate in larger predator-type fish, but also in fish that live in lakes that tend to be in the north. They have more anaerobic or darkly stained acidic-type waters with wetlands attached. And PCBs also accumulate in our fish, and those tend to be in some of our rivers and the Great Lakes where PCBs were once used in commercial or industrial type processes or products. Depending on the water body and the species, contaminant levels vary, and that's why we have been testing fish since the 70s for contaminants, and we issue fish consumption advice and we update yeah. that. And we want people to look at our advisories and when they're
pay
eating fish.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And the fish, the contamination, the contaminants, I should say, tend to concentrate in areas of the fish, do they not? In the fat areas, for example?
For PCBs, yes. Yeah. They tend to accumulate in the fattier fish and in the fat deposits, but fat can be kind of interspersed along, you know, in the muscle tissue that you're going to be eating. Mm-hmm. So we have recommendations on how to cook, how to clean the fish, trim the fish, so that some of the fat is removed, but then also use different cooking methods that allow the fat to drip away. In comparison, mercury, you can't really remove it. It's interspersed in the protein. And so for that, we have recommendations to, you know, if you have a choice, eat a smaller fish or mm-hmm. eat, you know, more panfish. Different species have different levels of mercury, and also different lakes have different levels of mercury in the fish.
Megan, let me turn to you for a minute here, because here we are talking about all these bad things about fish. And there are a lot of good things about fish. And you're looking at the levels of omega-3, for example, the fatty acids in Wisconsin fish, are you not?
Yeah. So one of the things that we realized when we were doing this fish contaminant monitoring program is that a lot of the omega-3 fatty acid, sort of the beneficial information that you hear about fish, is based on research that was done on marine fish, so fish that live in the oceans. And we wanted to see what levels of these, specifically two of the most beneficial omega-3 fatty acids, which
are... What are they, by the way?
They're a lipid, just like any other type of lipid, but these particular ones, which have the names EPA and DHA, are this polyunsaturated long chain polyunsaturated omega-3 fatty acid. And these ones, they're good.
They're good for you.
Yeah, they help lower triglycerides, and one in particular, DHA, has been shown to help fetal eye and brain development, so it's good for developing babies. So we wanted to see if these fish, or these fatty acids were in Wisconsin fish.
And we are found we finding?
They are, actually.
Good.
As we would expect, the fattier fish like salmon and trout do have higher concentrations than like a leaner fish like walleye or yellow perch or northern pike or bass. But they still, even these leaner fish still have the amount that we have found to be beneficial per meal. So it would be... some research differs, but the minimum seems to be about 250 milligrams in a meal, and an 8-ounce serving of almost every species we tested will provide that. So
that's very cool.
So we were really excited to do this research and see yeah. something that people hadn't looked at before.
Well, yeah, and what about other important? Are there other important nutrients that we get aside from those?
Well, so fish are a good source of lean protein, so that's a benefit in your diet. And also, there's some research that suggests selenium might be good that you get from the fish. Although this is, it's not 100%. We're not 100% certain about that. So that's a potential beneficial nutrient. But anytime you can add like a low fat, lean protein to your diet is always a good thing.
Talking today with Megan Williams and Candy Schrank from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and taking a look at healthy fish consumption here in Wisconsin with them, and certainly inviting you to join in. If you have questions or comments, call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And as a matter of fact, if you have a good fish picture, a photo, we'd certainly love to see that as well. I'm told here Alex has got a fish picture up on my Facebook page. I'll have to get to that in just a second. But before I do that, again, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 with your questions and comments. One of the things that's really cool, I think, that you're working on a great DNR publication, be available online, and it's called Healthy Dishes with Wisconsin Fishes. I like that. Healthy Dishes with Wisconsin Fishes. We could do a little tune. You should have a song to go along with this. I love it. Tell us about this.
Well, so... we solicited Wisconsin anglers and anglers and chefs to submit their favorite recipes, and we got quite a lot of submissions covering a lot of different fish species. And so we wanted to not only showcase the wide variety of species that are available to be eaten in Wisconsin, but also give some people different ideas. You know, everyone loves the fish fry, but there are lots of different ways to cook fish. So we wanted to to show some homegrown recipes. And there's also advice at the beginning of the cookbook that talks about what recipes in particular are most healthy. So there's like an icon of a fish with a little heart in it, and those are particularly healthy recipes. And like Candy was saying earlier, we have tips on how to cook and clean your fish to reduce your contaminant intake. So we hope everyone goes and looks at it and hopefully finds a new way to cook their favorite fish.
Absolutely. We have a couple of the recipes we put up on my Facebook page. So if you want to see, there's one for baked smelt. You know, more often than not with smelt, we're frying it. But this is a baked version. I think you have a fried version, too, in the book. But baked smelt is something that I haven't tried yet, so I'm interested in getting on with that. Stuffed brook trout. Now, that really sounds appealing to me. And I'm definitely going to give that a second look. But those recipes look great, and I'm wondering, people are going to say, well, now where do I get a copy of this book? Well, you probably have a copy of your book, sort of, in your living room or your office right now. Isn't that right?
Just if you go to the DNR website, yeah. dnr.wi.gov, and in the search tool, if you enter eating your catch, you'll go to our DNR website where we have information on our consumption advice and also a link to the Healthy Dishes with Wisconsin Fishes. And one other thing that is kind of new is we have a online query tool where you can go to this webpage and there's pull-down menus. So you select your county and then you can look through a list of waters. And then once you select a water or click on the map, the consumption advice pops up. So we're hoping that this is an easier way for people to obtain their fish consumption advice for the waters that they fish. In the past, well, and we still do have our booklet called Choose Wisely. We have the fish consumption advice in a couple of different tables, but you have to like page through this table and that table. So the printed version is not as user-friendly as we would like, just because of the information is hard to present in a printed format. So the online query tool, it's called Find Advice, allows people to look for their particular water body.
Yeah, I want to hire that webmaster away from you, because that is really nice to be able to go to the county. Say, we got Dane County, you can go to Dane County, then you say, okay, I'm going to fish on Lake Mendota. It's all right, type in Lake Mendota, and there pops up the advisory.
Yeah, and also the DNR also has some apps now for the phones, and included in addition to fish consumption advice, we have fishing regulation information and, you know, all sorts of information about natural resources that are now, you know, more friendly for phone users. And now that most people have a smartphone, yeah. You know, that information is right there.
Talking today with Megan Williams and Candy Schrenk of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources about healthy fish consumption. Certainly, you can join in. Some callers online, thank you for calling. We'll get to you in just a minute, Daniel and Dennis, but there's a line open for you at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Jason Butler, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, though, we're talking about how to make sure the fish you are eating are healthy for you, and the best ways to prepare them. So join in as we visit with Megan Williams and Candy Schrenk of the DNR at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post like Alex did. Alex sent a nice picture of a catfish that he caught. I believe it's a catfish. Looks like it to me anyway. And catfish can be pretty good eating too. Do you have some catfish recipes in your book, by the way? Are there?
We do have at least one catfish recipe in here. I think it's a Alfredo catfish. Yep.
Alfredo catfish. All right. Let's go to Daniel in Minong first, who's been waiting a bit. Daniel, hi. Thanks for waiting.
One of the most memorable meals I ate was a walleye that was stuffed with wild rice. But my question is, have the overall levels of contamination by mercury in our fish increased or decreased over the 45 years of testing? What is the trend line?
Good question, Daniel. And let's turn to Candy for that. Candy, what do you think?
We have looked at the data that, you know, we've collected, and also a number of researchers are doing that. And recently we combined our data throughout the Great Lakes with Minnesota all the way through, I think it was Maine, and did some fancy statistical analysis of the data. And what we found is, although there is some debate and there's maybe some locations where this isn't true everywhere, but we have found that mercury levels have declined. We believe that the peak mercury concentrations, you know, post-industrial era were about in the mid-80s, and since then they've declined pretty much everywhere, except our data on what we looked at was walleye, and we found a slight increase in the south and a decrease in the north. Other researchers have looked at walleye and largemouth bass and found a decrease throughout the Great Lakes region. And but there are locations where the data suggests there could be some mercury still could be increasing. For example, Lake Superior. One of the theories is that a lot of the mercury that has landed on the watershed of Lake Superior is still entering the lake, and the data suggests that mercury may be increasing there. And, you know, this is all looking retrospectively at the past. What we don't know is about the future, and, you know, that'll depend on what happens with our mercury emissions, not only locally, but, you know, throughout the world. And so we're hoping that with the new regulations that are coming up in Wisconsin and in the U.S., that mercury concentrations in fish will continue to decline.
Dennis in Waupun, thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm just wondering if you could recommend any fish that are not normally thought of as table fare.
Well, so we, like I was saying before, we tried to get a wide variety of species in our new cookbook, and we have a couple that are not normally thought of. So one of them is burbot. So we have some recipes for poor man's lobster using burbot. And then we also have some recipes for gar and some suckers. We also, interestingly, have a recipe for rusty crayfish, which is an invasive species. And so we're saying, you know, always follow your fishing regulations. But if you can catch them, you can use them in this recipe. Yep.
And actually, they're not bad eating, are they?
Which one?
Rusty crayfish?
Yeah. I haven't tasted too many of them, but some people really like them.
We have some people in the DNR who really enjoy eating them, just like any other crayfish boil. Yeah.
And another species that, you know, a freshwater drum or sheep's head, people like to fish for that. And, you know, I don't think everybody fishes for it, but we have a recipe there for a freshwater drum.
There was a cookbook once of, this is years ago, on carp.
Well, it
among
was
others. It was rough fish.
Rough fish, right.
It was called a fine kettle of fish.
Yes.
We actually took some recipes that we liked from that cookbook.
Excellent.
And there's maybe two or three in here. And we have, for some people who don't want to deal with Y bones, they're a type of sort of pesky bone. We have some tips and tricks in the cookbook as well for people to get those out so that they can eat fish they normally wouldn't want to eat because of the Y bones. So.
Also, suckers, we have a recipe for sucker patties, and I think that's one of the recipes that we took from the fine kettle of fish. And when we created this cookbook, you know, using the recipes that were submitted by anglers, we didn't know what we were going to get, you know, for submittals.
Sure.
And so, you know, we tried to select, you know, or encourage anglers to submit a variety of fish recipes rather than just the normal fish ones fry that people do every day that most people know about. So when the caller asks about, you know, what is not regular table fare, I would be interested to know what he is thinking of.
Well, I know anybody who hasn't eaten lawyer doesn't know what they're missing. Pickled suckers are great, and smoked carp is very good.
I like smoked carp, too. Yeah. And smoked suckers. We used to smoke
I've never
suckers.
Had I've had them pickled, but not smoked.
Yeah, we used to smoke suckers all the time, and they were very good, very tasty. Oh, I got
one other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
One other thing that's not very well thought of is bullheads, smoked bullheads, and even fried. You skin them; they're very good.
Yeah.
Well, if we end up making another cookbook, then you can submit your recipe to us.
You
got to
do that, Dennis. You got to do that. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. We have so many callers and so many questions coming in online. And John and Nina, we better go to you next. Hi, John.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I got to recommend walleye in parchment paper with some butter and fresh vegetables. Steam it. That makes a great meal.
Mm-hmm.
But a question for you. South of Little Lake Butamore on the Winnebago system, I'm wondering about PCBs in there. As far as I know, they're all north. They're in Little Lake Butamore and north through the Fox River. So that's question one. And then does the time of year make a difference on the quality of eating fish? Late in the summer when there's big algae blooms, does that affect quality in any way? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are the big two for you.
All right. Thanks, John. Those are good questions, too. Candy, you want to give it a shot here?
Sure. The Fox River, you know, if you think of lower Fox River goes from downstream of Little Lake Butamore it flows
north
towards Green Bay. That's where most of the PCBs are, they're currently being remediated, and so we have seen some improvements there, but we still have
a ways to go.
Yep. And so south of that, flowing towards Lake Winnebago and including Lake Winnebago, the PCB levels are much lower. And that includes the Wolf River, what we call the Upper Fox, which kind of goes through Berlin, and it actually starts all the way up towards Buffalo Lake, and Marquette and Greene County. So there are PCBs in that system, but they're a little lower. And we do have fish consumption advice for all waters of the state and a little more stringent for some of the areas of the Upper Fox and the Lower Fox River.
There we go. Let's turn to Frank in Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Frank.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And hello, Candy. I used to work with you. I'm now living up in Minnesota here.
I know who you are.
Yeah, okay, great. Hey, great to hear you guys on the program, too. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, in Minnesota, one of the contaminants listed in the Fish Advisory is PFOS, perfluorooctane sulfonate. And it's in bluegills, bass, crappies, virtually everything. Is Wisconsin testing for PFOS? And if so, what are you finding? And do you know anything? I haven't researched at all what the health implications of it may be. So can you speak to that at all?
We do. We have tested fish for perfluorinated chemicals, and primarily in the Mississippi River downstream of Minnesota. What's the big town? Minneapolis. Downstream of Minneapolis. Other people have tested elsewhere. Actually, we've tested a bunch of fish from the Great Lakes and other areas for perfluorinated chemicals. And these chemicals were used in Teflon-type products. So they're surfactant-type chemicals. So they're different than PCBs, which are lipophilic. They're different than mercury, which is a metal. They're a different type of chemical. So what we found is the highest levels in panfish, and we have issued consumption advice for some of the panfish that have the highest levels of the perfluorinated, one particular type of perfluorinated chemical. And so we do have consumption advice for those. So far as the health effects, if you go to Minnesota Health website, you will learn a lot about perfluorinated chemicals. And included in there is their health risk assessment. And I don't remember exactly, but I think the health effect had to do with changes in some endocrinology in humans. And of course, with all of our science that we're doing, we're always, you know, trying to scan the literature and learn more, because we never have perfect information about some of these things, including the detrimental effects of contaminants, but also with regard to the benefits. And in fact, when we were talking earlier about omega-3 fatty acids and their health benefits, we still have a lot to learn about, you know, how those components are of a benefit to human health.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, no, it's really important to kind of weigh all the benefits and the risks.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Frank. Appreciate your call. And, by the way, you can join in. We have some open lines. We'll get you on fairly quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Turning to Mike in Madison next. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Well, I've been following climate change and global warming for quite a while, and the oceans are actually warming up and becoming more acidic. And I was wondering if we're seeing the same kind of thing looking at Wisconsin's lakes and the Great Lakes, rivers over the past 30 years or so.
Yeah. I don't know. Is this an area, Megan, that you guys worked in?
Well, Candy and I don't work on this specifically. I know there's some really great research that's being done out of the DNR Science Services. People are looking at these different factors that might affect how climate change might affect the lakes in Wisconsin. And I know so far it's kind of a mixed bag, I think. They're finding, depending on the natural state of the lake, it will affect whether or not they're going to be more acidified or not. But I can't give a definitive answer, so
And I think if you, there are some publications that we might have on our website that deal with predictions about future, you know, what would happen to our waters if climate temperatures changed in terms of trout distribution, and also with regard to acid, you know, sulfates are regulated. They're emitted, and the regulations are being implemented. So hopefully, in the future, you know, we'll see lower acidity or lower sulfates entering our waters.
Our carbon dioxide, when that enters the waters, add to the acidity problem.
Carbon dioxide.
It does, in general, make the lakes more acidic, but we don't directly research that stuff. I would say one of the scientists who's been working on this is Dr. Gretchen Hansen. So she's been doing some really interesting modeling out of Science Services. So if you can't find any papers on our website, you could probably send her an email, and she might be able to give you some more information related to this.
Thanks very much for calling. And just taking a look at my Facebook page here for a second, and we've got, looks like a pretty nice muskie that Tom has posted a picture of. And let's see what else we got. A bass from Tom as well. Nice bass. And here's a trick picture that somebody was very, Alex is very good with trick photography or editing, because he's got a fish here that looks like it might be a carp, but it looks also like a pig.
With ears. It has ears and a snout.
If you pulled that out of the water, you definitely would not want to eat it.
I love it, though. You should just go to my Facebook page just to see that photo. That is really cool. You did a nice job on that. All right. We have lots of questions coming in from email and such as well. And let's see, Janine says, I'm in the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. Is it mostly similar to Wisconsin for cooking caught fish? In other words, the same kind of levels. That's my guess, I would think, Megan, but Candy.
Yeah, we're part of this Great Lakes Consortium on Fish Consumption Advisories, where we actually get together with public health and natural resources professionals from all the Great Lakes states to hopefully standardize our fish consumption advisories for our shared waters. So advice for fish that you get out of Lake Michigan should be the same whether you get your advice from Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, or Michigan. So yeah.
But if she's asking about lakes in Michigan, you know, the inland waters, I would go to the Michigan Health advisory webpage or website. And, you know, Michigan lakes might be a little bit different than some of our lakes, especially in the Lower Peninsula. It's kind of a sandier area. Mercury may not reach as high levels in some of their fish compared to our northern areas. So the advice can still vary, you know, and, you know, each state does testing. So, best to consult with the Michigan Fish Consumption Advice for inland waters.
Vern wondered where the if there are good omega-3s in sheep's head and catfish.
Well, he actually chose two fish that we have not tested yet.
Vern would pick the two fish.
So, but you know, keep checking back because we
You're
will hopefully.
Working at it?
Look at some more. So far, we've tested from inland waters. We've tested black crappie, bluegill, brown trout, cisco, lake trout, largemouth bass, pike, walleye, and yellow perch. So we have tested quite a lot, but unfortunately not sheep's head and catfish. So sorry.
What about, here's a little different, an email from Joe. What are the possible contaminants that could be in frogs and turtles, such as would it be okay to eat frogs from a pond that may have had some fertilizer runoff, for example?
Well, typically what we would recommend is, you know, if you can find a frog in another location that hasn't had a fertilizer pesticide applied, you know, why not take your frogs from a different clean water body? Frogs eat insects, so theoretically they should have lower levels of contaminants, but they also you know, their skins are out in the mud and, you know, so they could absorb whatever's in the mud. But, you know, they're not probably going to accumulate super high levels of anything, but they still could have some levels of pesticides or fertilizers in their tissues.
Judy in Elk Mound has a question for you. Hi, Judy. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, where did or does the mercury come from?
Yeah, it comes from a lot of different places, doesn't it, Candy?
Yeah, mercury is part of the earth. It's usually bound up in rock and soils and so forth, but through a number of activities, it gets mobilized or released into the atmosphere, and some of those activities are, you know, one of the primary sources, fossil fuel burning. Gold mining is another source where people are using mercury to extract gold. Also, like volcanic type activity, forest fires can mobilize mercury into the atmosphere. So there's a number of different sources. You know, we've tried to quantify the amount of mercury coming from all those different sources, and fossil fuel burning comes to the top of the
list. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Judy. Paul in Bailey's Harbor, thank you for calling.
Hi, I was wondering real quickly, what would be the source of PCBs in the Upper Fox and the Wolf upstream from any former paper mill or industrial center?
Right, so you know that PCBs were used in carbonless copy paper. Also, they were used as in insulating oils for you know, different kinds of machinery and electrical type transformers, all, you know, a variety of uses. So in the lower Fox, the primary source was carbonless copy paper. And in the upper Fox, there used to be a national cash register company, or and they, I think they used to manufacture the, I'm not sure, you know, if they manufactured PCBs or if they just used PCBs for their process. But there was an industry up there that, and that was, you know, a long time ago. But and then, you know, there's other locations where different types of industries used PCBs for different processes.
Yep.
You mentioned all the way up as far as Buffalo Lake. What would be the source all the way up there? I mean, you have Portage. That's about it.
Right. Yeah. So that's where the that's NCR what used to be, was in Portage.
Oh, okay. All right. There you go, Paul. Thank you. Megan in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Megan.
Hi. I couldn't find any, like, fish-eating guidelines for Lake Geneva, because my husband goes there regularly, and then he was told the water was very clean. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well.
Well, so a lot of waters that don't have a high contaminant of concern, then they would fall under our statewide safe eating guidelines. So if you can't find specific advice for the water that you fish in, then you'll just follow the general advice. And so we have that on our website, or you can go to any of our publications and we have that. So we have different advice for women of childbearing age and children that are under 15 years of age. And then we have other advice for men and other older women. So if you can't find that advice, it's likely it falls under our general advice.
Yeah, and Lake Geneva, you know, we have tested it for contaminants. We have tested fish from Lake Geneva, and like what Megan said, you know, so the advice would vary from one meal a week to one meal a month. The only one would be, you know, do not eat muskies.
Yeah. And people don't eat them anymore. I mean,
Right. But, you know, if you're talking about an older woman and a man, you know, panfish are fine, one meal a week for game fish. And then, you know, that's the primary thing to remember. If it's kids and younger women, we're talking one meal a week for panfish and one meal a month for game fish.
And I got to give Rod and Weyerhauser a chance. Rod, hi.
Oh, hello, Larry. Thank you. The northerns, on the northerns, you know, if you freeze them, and then when they get about half thawed, maybe a little more, you know, the meat shrinks and the Y-bones, tips of the Y-bones stick out. You grab them with pliers and they pull right out. I just wanted to make that comment. And also on the mercury, I found an interesting thing in the Atlantic Monthly that Abraham Lincoln, they said, suffered from severe depression. And at that time, they were giving him mercury pills.
Oh, oh my goodness. Wow, that's interesting. Well, on the, you know, who'd have thought we'd have got Abraham Lincoln and mercury pills into the conversation here? But by golly, it actually works.
Yes,
and is appropriate. Thanks, Rod. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your tip.
Thanks for the tip on the Y-bones. I can get them out. I mean, it's a little bit of work, but you can get them down. But I like the idea of just jerking them out with the pliers. So that may be the easy way. But I want to go back to Healthy Dishes with Wisconsin Fishes for just a second and tell people where to go. Where do you get a copy of that? You can go online.
Right. So you can go to the DNR website. If you do a search in the little keyword box there for eating your catch, you'll go to our website. And we have lots of great advice. And if you look on the right-hand side of the page, there is a little icon that looks like some fish being grilled over a fire. And if you click on that, you can it will take you to a flipbook or a PDF of our cookbook. So then you can page through the recipes, print off whatever ones you want, print off the whole book.
And then there's the Choose Wisely 2013, a healthy guide for eating fish in Wisconsin.
Yep.
So. Well, you guys are a font of knowledge. Thank you so much for being with us today, and hopefully we'll get you back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you so much. Megan Williams, environmental toxicologist in the Fisheries Management Division, and Candy Schrank, Fish Contaminant and Toxicology Program Coordinator, both with our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And, I mean, they're doing a lot of great work there. And we have, go online, take a look at the book. We do have a couple of recipes on my Facebook page. We posted the stuffed brook trout and the baked smelt from the cookbook that we've been talking about with them. So great to have them along. And it's kind of a Department of Natural Resources Day, as a matter of fact, in some ways, because we're going to be talking about those parks and natural areas that we have in the state. And, you know, it's so much fun to get out there and enjoy them. But it can be a challenge to get out into nature if you're living with a disability of some sort. And we're going to talk about how to overcome that. The DNRs and state agencies have done a lot of work to help ensure that our parks are available for everybody. And we'll talk about that next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.